Mixed gold into their begetting, that's why they're the most honored, but silver into the auxiliaries, and iron and bronze into the farmers and the other craftsmen. Now, since you're all related, for the most part you'll produce children like yourselves, but sometimes a silver child will be born from a golden parent, or a golden child from a silver one, and so on for all the rest, each from the other. So the god commands the rulers, first and above all, to be good guardians of nothing so much, to watch over nothing so intensely, as the children. Seeing which of these metals is mixed into their souls. And if a child of their own is born with an admixture of bronze or iron, they must show it no pity whatsoever, but give it the honor appropriate to its nature and thrust it out among the craftsmen or the farmers. And if, conversely, one of these produces a child with gold or silver in it, they'll honor it and bring it up, some into the guardian class, some into the auxiliary, since there's an oracle that the city will be destroyed when an iron or bronze man guards it. So then, do you have some device by which they might be persuaded of this story? Not at all, he said, not these men themselves, but perhaps their sons and those who come after, and the rest of humanity later on. Even that, I said, would help make them more protective both of the city and of each other, for I pretty much understand what you mean. Well, this will go wherever rumor happens to carry it. As for us, let's arm these earthborn men and lead them forward, with the rulers. In command, once they arrive, let them look for the best place in the city to make camp, a spot from which they could best hold down anyone inside who refuses to obey the laws, and best ward off anyone from outside, if an enemy comes at the flock like a wolf. And once they've made camp, after sacrificing to the proper gods, let them make their beds. Or how? Just so, he said. And these beds should be such as to keep out the cold in winter and be adequate for the summer. Of course, for you seem to me to mean dwellings. Yes, I said, soldiers' dwellings, not money-making ones. How do you mean this differs from that? He said. I'll try to tell you, I said. It's surely the most terrible and shameful thing of all for shepherds to raise dogs as guardians of the flock in such a way, and to treat them so badly that under the influence of indiscipline or hunger or some other bad habit the dogs themselves turn to attacking the sheep and doing them harm, becoming more like wolves than dogs. Terrible, he said, of course. So mustn't we guard in every way against our auxiliaries doing anything like that to the citizens, since they're stronger than the citizens, turning from kindly allies into savage masters? We must guard against it, he said. And wouldn't they be equipped with the greatest safeguard against this? If they're truly well educated. But they are, surely, he said. And I said, that point isn't worth insisting on too strongly, my dear Glaucon. What we were just saying is worth insisting on, though, that they must get the right education, whatever it turns out to be, if they're going to have the greatest thing needed for being gentle toward one another and toward those in their care. And rightly said, he replied. Now besides this education, a person with sense would say that their dwellings and the rest of their property must be arranged in a way that neither stops them from being the best guardians possible nor incites them to do wrong to the other citizens. And he'll say that truly. See, then, I said, whether they must live and be housed in some such manner as this. If they're to be men of that sort. First, none of them should possess any private property, unless it's entirely unavoidable. Second, none should have a dwelling or storeroom into which anyone who wishes can't enter. As for their provisions, whatever is needed by disciplined and courageous men who are athletes of war, they should receive these, assessed from the other citizens, as pay. For their guardianship, enough for the year and no more, and they should attend common messes and live together like men in a military camp. As for gold and silver, we should tell them that they always have the divine kind within their souls, a gift from the gods, and have no further need of the human kind, that it would be impious to defile the possession of that divine gold by mixing it with the possession of mortal gold, since so much unholy business has arisen over the currency the many use, while theirs remains untainted. Rather, alone among the people in the city, it isn't lawful for them to handle or touch gold and silver, or even come under the same roof as it, or wear it as ornament, or drink from vessels of silver or gold. In this way, they'd be kept safe themselves and keep the city safe. But whenever they themselves acquire land, private land, together with dwellings and coined money, they'll turn into householders and farmers rather than guardians, and into hostile masters rather than allies of their fellow citizens. Hating and hated in return, scheming and schemed against, they'll spend their entire lives fearing the people inside the city far more, and far more intensely, than the enemies outside. Running, at that point, very close to ruin themselves and the rest of the city with them. For all these reasons, then, I said, shall we say that the guardians must be arranged in this way regarding housing and everything else, and shall we legislate accordingly or not? By all means, said Glaucon.